Praise the Lord. Yes, He is the never-changing God. Let's take our seats in His presence. You are welcome to the arena of liberty. Tell your neighbor, you are welcome. Yes, you are welcome in Jesus' name. Many wanted to be here today, but they could not. Yet here you are. Viewers all over the world, many people wanted to watch Emmanuel TV, but for one reason or the other, they could not. You are with us. You are destined to be saved. If you believe that, say thank you, Jesus. You are destined to be delivered. You are destined to be free. The trial you experienced before coming here is enough for you to know that you're destined to be free. Say, I'm destined to be free. Do you believe that with all your heart? That means the job is half done. Hallelujah. How many of you have sat down at one point in your life and thought, I want to be great? Great people whose names will go down in history are remembered not for what they wanted to do, not for what they wished they'd done, and not for what they planned on doing later. They're remembered for what they did. If you look at the people who occupy powerful seats in the world today, the way they responded to their challenges, their difficulties, their temptation and trial singles them out from the crowd. If you had the opportunity to rewind the cassette of your life, I mean the videotape of your life, from when you were born till right now, and you were able to change something, I'm almost certain that it would be a wrong response that led you to the situation you're in today, that you want to get out of. One of the greatest gifts that God has given you and I is the freedom to make decisions. Because life is all about choices and how you respond to every situation. And with this freedom, you have the key to your destiny in your hand. But the majority today, they continue to give excuses for their response, blaming their circumstance. They say, I have no option. I was provoked. They deserved it. I'm suffering. I'm offended. No matter what others do to you, no matter the situation or temptation you face, you can still choose to walk away from wrong opportunities. You that has fallen into temptation, and you that has not fallen into temptation, there's only one difference. You face a similar temptation, but you made a different decision. What decision are you making? Because your response determines your future. In order not to end up like the masses out there who are merely wandering, unsure of their goals and dreams, I have a secret for you. Don't hate. Others may. Don't judge. Others may. Don't intimidate people. Others may. Don't call people names. Others may. Because when you're face to face with Jesus Christ on the last day, you will be held accountable not for the harsh situation you faced, not for the temptation that you went through, or the offense that was inflicted on you, but you'll be held accountable for your response. when you're misjudged, falsely accused, lied against, hurt, and offended, your response determines your future. And this will bring us to the message today titled, The Way You Respond. Tell your neighbor, the way you respond. Let's look at our Bible, the book of 1 Peter 4, from verses 1 to 4. And let's take the example from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many of you are there? 1 Peter 4. Let's read together. 1 Peter 4, from verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. What does the Bible say here? Arm yourself with the same attitude. What does that mean? Arm yourself with the same response. Respond in the way that Jesus did. I think you'll agree with me that one of the hardest things to do in this life is to pause, reflect, and meditate on God's word when you're provoked. If someone tells you you're a liar, you're a thief, do you pause? Do you reflect? Do you meditate on God's word? When the truth was ignored, Jesus was silent. When the truth was ignored, Jesus was silent. Think about that. How do you respond when you're faced with injustice? When you're falsely accused, when you're cheated, when you're hurt, when you're treated unfairly, your response determines your future. Jesus' response was never determined by the emergency of others. His response was never dictated by the priority of others. He was led by the Spirit of God. But today, many believers live as common men. What do I mean by that? They allow their situation to rule them, and their senses rule their responses instead of the Spirit of God. And what happens? The voice of the flesh grows louder in their heart. Do you know there's always two voices in your heart? If you know that, put up your hand. There's always two voices in your heart. Even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at the point when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Satan whispered to him, "You don't have to go through this." But the voice of God was louder in his heart. And he said, "Not my will. I'm here to do God's will." This shows that as long as we're in this earth, there'll be a constant struggle. There are always two voices in your heart. Which voice are you listening to? The more you listen to the right voice, the louder that voice will become in your heart. But today, because we allow our emotions, our feelings, our senses to rule our responses, the voice of the flesh grows louder and louder and louder. Tell your neighbor, your response determines your future. Human nature. You see, you can pretend to be kind. You can even pretend to be nice, but you can never ever pretend to be patient. Because patience is the force, is the power that forces deception to reveal itself. In times of prosperity and success, even a wicked man seems generous and kind. But when times are hard, their true character comes out. How do you respond to your situation? Does anyone have to teach you to lie? Does anyone have to educate you on how to fight back? Does anyone have to prompt you to hold bitterness and grudges in your heart? No. By nature, man is rebellious. And the responses of man are rebellious. But Jesus' message was very challenging. It went against the teaching of the day. It challenged the status quo. Jesus Christ said, we should love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. He said we should forgive those who wrong us. This goes opposite to our natural response. I want us to look at a parable in the Bible, in that book of Matthew 18 from verse 21. But you all know the story. Today we'd like to act out that story. So I'd actually like some actors to come forward. If you consider yourself to be a good actor or actress, can you come forward, please? We just want four people. If you consider yourself to be a good actress or a good actor, can you come forward? If you don't come forward, I'll start picking people. So, okay, we have one person. Thank you. We want four people. Four people. One, two. Wonderful. Just two more. Okay, we have this. Oh, wonderful. Okay, one, two, three, four. Where's the fourth person? Okay, come. Thank you very much. Wow, so you're actors and actresses. Wonderful. So thank you very much. We want to ask for your assistance today to act out a story. And this story is actually the picture of our life. So we want to give you... thank you, yes. So we have four characters. Who out of them looks like a king? This one? King. Okay, you're a king. Just hold it up, yeah. Wonderful, so this is the king. Okay, now we have the ungrateful servant. Who looks like the ungrateful servant? I can't hear you. Ah, you said the woman. Is that a unanimous decision? I don't think so. I think let's hear that again. Who looks like the ungrateful servant? Oh, wonderful. Okay. Just for the purpose of this drama, you are the ungrateful servant, okay? Thank you. Now, the friend. Who's the friend? The young man. You know, I'm only listening to you people. What about... Sorry, your voice will be heard very soon. Okay, friend. Now, the remaining one is the spy. Yes, okay. So you're the spy. Wonderful. Okay. So... are we ready to start our drama? Wonderful. Okay. So we want the king to come this way. So king, can we have the microphone? Yes, thank you. Okay, king. So you're in your palace one day and you suddenly decide that you want to show mercy on someone. You just decide that let's just call someone that owes a huge debt and let's hear what they have to say. You're bored. You don't have much to do. So king, let's hear from you. Can you demand them to bring... the servant that owes you so much money. Let's hear from you.
Yeah, as a king, I like to honor somebody, and I would like to call a friend.
Is it a friend or a servant?
A servant.
Uh-huh. Okay, so they're calling you. They're calling you. You're being summoned. Okay, so now, this is the situation. He owes you. Okay, which currency do you understand best? I can't hear you. Ah, is it dollar? Ah, who said pound? Is it rand? Is it pula? Is it naira? Is it euro? Wait, dollar. I'm not hearing you very well. Naira. Ah, you know, people are watching all over the world. Which currency should we use? Oh. Okay, for this purpose, can we use dollar? Is that okay? Thank you. Let's just use dollar. Okay. So, king, you have you've realized that your servant owes you $10 million. Can you imagine that kind of debt? So the king is now thinking, what can he build with that money? And he suddenly realized that I have $10 million somewhere in credit. I want it. So king, you have to show yourself as a king. Can you show yourself and demand that money from your servant?
Servant, you know I'm a king, and you have been owing me which amount of money?
How much?
$100 million.
Ah! This is increase. Wow, is it interest? Okay, so what do you want him to do, king?
Servant, I want you to give me your life in respect of that money.
But you've not asked him for the money first. Maybe he can pay.
Can you pay me my money?
Okay, let's hear from the servant. Let's hear.
I don't have that kind of money now. I'll pay later.
Well, he said he'll pay later.
I want to have my money back now.
Okay. Servant, you have to beg. You know, you said you're an actor. We want to see you begging. You have to beg. Do everything you can to beg the king to release you. So let's hear your begging.
Please pardon me. I'll pay later. I don't have the money now. Please. I'm begging in the name of God. Please. Pardon me. I'll pay later. Please. I'm begging you. Please. I'll still have some money to pay for my children's school fees.
King, how do you feel? He's talking about his children's school fees.
Well, I'm a bit sober. I think I will pardon you.
Oh, he said he's going to pardon you. Wait, does that mean he's going to pay later or you're going to cancel it?
No, I'm not canceling it. Where can you pay?
Okay, you have to beg more.
Please, I'll pay more. I'll pay later. I have so many things to run around and pay. Please, help me. Help me, please. I'll pay later. Whenever I receive my salary, I'll pay. But I can't pay.
Can you pay?
I can't pay.
Tell him the truth. Tell him that you can't pay.
But I can't pay. Okay. I really don't have the money now.
King, what's your response?
Okay. By the virtue of my position, I'm canceling it. Don't pay again. Go.
Wow. Okay, servant, what's your reaction?
Thank you. God bless you. Bless you. Bless your family. God bless you, my king. Thank you.
Okay, wonderful. So just put yourself in the position of that servant. You know, how many of you have been in debt before? If you've been in debt and you know what it's like, put up your hand. You can never be free. Any money that comes in, it will automatically go. You don't have self-dignity, self-worth. You're in a prison. Am I right? Now, this debt, what did you say? $100 million. Wow. It is canceled. Now, servant, you're free. So you're walking along the street. King, thank you. Just come this side. Thank you very much. So servant, this is your first day of freedom. You've been released from the prison. You're walking, jumping, shouting, sharing your testimony. Okay.
Wow. I'm free. My debt has been canceled. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
I'm free.
Now, you come across a friend. Now this friend, let me just tell you, this friend from a few years ago owes you $10. Okay, now when you see this $10 that he owes you, you begin to think, I have nothing, but if I have $10, I can still use it to buy something to eat. So when you see your friend, what do you tell him? You tell him, give me back my $10. Okay, so let's see you meet the friend.
My friend, where have you been? I hope you know you are owing me.
How much?
My $10, I need it now. I want to use it for something good.
My brother, sorry now. I beg, please. I don't have the money.
It's not possible. I need my $10 now.
Now, sorry.
Wait. While this is going on, there's a spy watching. The spy is watching everything. Okay, spy, are you watching this? Okay, so continue your...
I said I need my $10 now. What's your problem? Give me my money.
My brother, please. No, I don't have the money. Please.
What do you mean by please?
Please.
I said I need my money.
How much is that money? How much?
$10. Give me that money.
$10.
Now.
Okay. I think we've seen enough. We'll just wait here. Spy, run to the king. Now, the spy runs to the king and says, King, do you know what just happened? Can you tell the king what just happened?
King, do you know what just happened? That guy is ungrateful. After you forgive him for that, you said he shouldn't pay. He's running after $10. What kind of a man is that one? Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Okay, King, what can you say?
Are you serious?
Telling you the truth, that guy, you need to run after him. How can he do such a thing? You need to demand your money now. Because he's running after $10.
You have to take your stand now. What are you going to do?
No. I'm not going to take that. Are you serious?
Telling you nothing but the truth.
Call him for me. I want to see him. Ungrateful servant.
They're calling you.
My king.
How could you have done that? I pardoned you. You were owing me dollars. And I pardoned you. Somebody is owing you $10. And you find it difficult to forgive that person. You are an ungrateful person.
You're going to prison.
And you are going to prison for that. I'm giving you 100 million years. Prison.
Okay. Let's clap for them. Clap for them. Thank you. You can take your seat, but before that, take fruit from the altar. Thank you. You can take it. Thank you. Let's clap for them. Now, the ungrateful servant. No. Take it. Now, all of us know the story. And if you watch that, you say to yourself, I can never behave like that ungrateful servant. I can never. I'm sure that's what's going through your mind. This is the picture of you and I today. Do you know why? This is how we respond to God. God has canceled that debt that could never be paid in a person's lifetime. Do you know that we're all debtors being sinners? Sin is a debt to God Almighty. And whether your sin is more or less, it's more than you can ever pay. Remember, Jesus said that to have anger in your heart is as bad as committing murder. Jesus said to look lustfully at someone is as bad as committing adultery. So what are we talking about? Jesus Christ was handed over for our salvation. It was a ransom. The just for the unjust. The righteous for the unrighteous. There was no peace made but by his blood on the cross. And his purpose was to bring you to his Father in heaven. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus responded with forgiveness. He said, Father, forgive them. But do you know what gives God pain today? When you forget his goodness. When you ignore his existence. When you hold grudges against your brother in your heart. When you disregard his sacrifice for you.
I have made you too small.
Let's rise up.
Oh, Lord, forgive me, and I have believed in the lie that you were unable to help me, but now, oh, Lord, I see my wrong. Heal my heart and show yourself strong. And in my life and with my song, oh Lord, be magnified. Oh Lord, of men. In spite of your love and your mercy, but now, oh Lord, I see my wrong. Oh Lord, be made.
Let's clap for Jesus Christ. Let's clap for Jesus Christ. Yes. Let him be magnified in your life. You can have our seats. Jesus has paid that debt for you. Tell your neighbor, he paid the debt. I could not pay. He paid the debt. So now, Jesus has paid the debt for you. But instead of you to thank him, to live a life full of gratitude to him, to give thanks for your living, your moving, your breathing, you begin to complain. Someone that offends you, you find it so difficult to forgive them. Our response many times leaves us vulnerable to the root of bitterness, the root of strife. Offense has imprisoned so many of us. We're not able to function properly because of offense. Remember, your response to someone else's mistake can also be a mistake if you're not careful. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 1, that when your brother or sister is caught in any sin, be careful, or you too might be tempted. Let me tell you something. Someone who is a thorn in your flesh today can be your helper tomorrow. If you reject someone because of their weakness, you also reject their strength. Jesus Christ did not reject you because of your weakness. That's why you're here today. Is that not why you're here today? So why should you reject someone because they hurt you? Because they offended you, because they betrayed you. Jesus Christ never rejected you. You're running a race. You might start that race first, but remember, you might not get to the end of the race. Someone can start that race after you, but they might reach the end before you. The question is, you're with God now. The question you should ask yourself, will I end with God? Ask yourself that question. Will I end with God? I can't hear you. Will I end with God? Because God is more concerned about your exit than your entrance. Don't hold offense against anyone. If you do that, you're holding them hostage of unforgiveness. And when you hold them hostage, you yourself are in prison. Are you happy when others make mistakes? Do you envy the success of others? Examine your response to the people around you, because your response determines your future. Tell your neighbor, my response determines my future. Yes. Your response determines your future. The reason why we can't move forward in our spiritual life is because we fail to see that when our faith is tested, our endurance has a chance to grow. When our patience is tested, when our impatience is tested, our patience has a chance to grow. When our hatred is provoked, our love has a chance to grow. The Bible says in Hebrews 5 verse 8, that though Jesus was the Son of God, he learned obedience from what he suffered. What do you learn from what you suffer? Many of us, we learn to hold offense. Many of us, we learn to hold grudges, bitterness in our heart. We don't learn obedience And remember, the more you obey the right voice in your heart, the louder that voice will become. Remember, there's always two voices in your heart. Which voice are you obeying? If you obey the voice of God, you will see that strength that will be with you. Because when you're connected to the creator of heaven and earth, you're wired in a unique way. Nothing can disconnect you. What is your response? When you're hurt, when you're offended, you have to let go of offense. Because when you're in prison, victory can't see you. Do you know that? I want you to understand what we're talking about. How many of you here for breakthrough? Are you here for breakthrough? If you're here for breakthrough, let me see your hand. You're here for healing. You're here for an encounter with Jesus that will change your life forever. Are you here for that? That is God's desire. God's desire is to bless you. God's desire is to free you. God's desire is to prosper you in all ways. But if you're imprisoned in your heart, victory cannot see you. What's your name?
My name is Frida.
Frida. Okay, so I'm Victory, and I'm sent from God to bless Frida. I'm looking for Frida. Have you seen Frida? Do you know where Frida is?
No.
Where is Frida? I can't see her. Is Frida there? I can't see Frida. Have you seen Frida?
No, I haven't seen him.
I thought she was somewhere here. Frida, where are you? Frida, this is Victory. Even if you stand up, Victory can't see you. Even if you stand up, Victory cannot see you because you're in prison. You know, if you win the lottery today and you're in prison, can that money help you? If someone gives you a car and you're in prison, can you drive that car? You have to get out of prison first. Tell your neighbor, release yourself. When you release yourself, victory will see you. Blessing will see you. Deliverance will see you. Let's clap for Jesus. Prophet T.B. Joshua said, "You'll receive in a moment what you've been seeking for years. The moment you let go of offense in your heart." It has to be with your heart. I want to explain one thing to you. We only have one heart. Do you know that? One heart. The same heart that we believe God, because faith comes from man's heart, is the same heart where bitterness is stored, where offense takes up residence. It's the same heart. The same heart that you watch pornography is the same heart that you read your Bible and believe in God. There's only one heart. And remember, God wants to be the landlord of your heart. He's a jealous God. He will only go where he's appreciated, where he's wanted, where he's desired. Does your heart desire God? You can say you want God, but is your heart open for God? If you examine yourself, you'll see that many of you, the hurts of many years are stored up inside your heart. Tell your neighbor, let go. Let go. And let me tell you, you can only let go with God. You cannot let go of that offense in your heart without the help of the Holy Spirit. And God has promised to help you. Let's go to our Bible, the book of Mark 11. Verse 25. Let's read together. And let's read what Jesus said we should do. Remember, we can't do it alone. We were never meant to do it alone. Mark 11, verse 25. The Bible says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." It's as simple as that. If you're holding grudges in your heart, that offense imprisons you. It widens the existing breaches between us. You have to let go. And you can only let go with God's help. Remember, it's not easy to forgive. Jesus' message was very challenging. On the cross of Calvary, before Jesus was brutally murdered, Jesus responded with forgiveness. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You too. Do you forgive others? It's time for you to examine yourself and realize that you've been forgiven the greatest debt. Who knows that song? He paid the debt I could not pay.
I could not pay. I needed someone.
Let's stand up.
To wash my sins away. Now I can sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Lord Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone.
He paid the debt for you.
My sins away.
Worship him.
Now I can sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Lord Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid the debt. He paid the debt.
Hallelujah. Let's take our seats. Finally, it's not a question of an opportunity to be offended. The Bible says in Luke 17, verse 1, it's impossible to live this life without the opportunity to be offended. Offense will come. The question is, what will your response be? Because your response is a choice. Choose not to be offended. I mean, refuse to be offended in order not to offend God. Because your relationship with God is the most important relationship. Your relationship with God is the most important relationship. Nothing will keep you on course like a deep love for the Lord. And God's goodness will continue towards you if you respond by loving Him. And how do you respond by loving Him? In every trial, in every circumstance, in every temptation, pause, reflect, meditate on God's word. One day at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time, He'll give you the courage, strength, and conviction to stand your ground and to respond like Jesus. Amen.